Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen or take part. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it. Call 1-800-677-9377 right now. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That's the good news of the gospel. And from that truth, everything in our human experience flows. Without the resurrection, we're just still dead in sins, hopeless, helpless, trying to make it the best way that we can. And for most folks out there, they simply just give up and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow they die. But because of the resurrection, we have hope in all areas of life. We can see things change in every single relationship that we have. And that's what we're talking about this month, is relationships, how the gospel message can shape and direct every single relationship we have with other human beings. And today, I wanted to look at seven relationship builders, seven things that the Word of God tells us will help strengthen and build every single relationship that we have. Now, here is the list. It starts with patience. If we're going to be involved in a healthy, strong relationship, patience has to be at the very heart and soul of that relationship. We have all kinds of expectations we place on one another. And when those expectations aren't met, we can get angry, we can get upset. But that doesn't help. That doesn't build a relationship. That tears it down. Patience in the midst of those things is what helps the relationship grow strong. So the first relationship builder is patience. The second is kindness. Kindness is more than just an attitude. It really is an action. It's doing something for the benefit of another person. We've heard of late the phrase random acts of kindness. You know, if you see somebody on the side of the road with a flat tire, you stop and help them. That's kindness in action. And that needs to be a part of every single relationship, to extend kindness to the other person. Truth is the third relationship builder that is so important. You can't build a relationship upon lies and deceits and falsehoods. That just doesn't work. Whenever those things are brought to the surface, it just jeopardizes the relationship. So every single relationship needs to be built upon truth and honesty, and we need to rejoice with that truth one with another. So that's number three of the seven relationship builders. Number four is protection. And what I see in the Word of God as it relates to protection is this, is providing a place of safety. That's what grace enables, for you to provide a place of safety, where you can genuinely and truly talk and be yourselves without fear of rejection, without fear of any repercussion. So a part of relationship building is providing a place of safety. The fifth thing is trust. What relationship is worth its salt if it's not built on trust? You have to be able to trust another person. Oftentimes, that's where control issues come into play. We don't trust that the person is going to do the right thing, is going to do the thing that's going to make me happy. And so we get involved and we try to control them, manipulate them, move them in the direction that we want to move them into so that the result will benefit me. There's no trust in that. So we have to relinquish control and trust that they're going to do the right thing. Hope. That's number six. We need to hope the best, believe the best in one another. And then the final relationship builder is perseverance. In today's society, divorce is very commonplace. People enter into marriage And oftentimes with an attitude, if it doesn't work, we'll just part ways and go to the next person. So there's no sense of perseverance that I'm going to stick with somebody through thick and thin. But for a relationship to be strong, to be beneficial, to be healthy, perseverance has to be a part of it. So those are the seven relationship builders. So if you want healthy, strong, joyful, positive, rewarding relationships, these are the things that are going to make up those relationships. Again, here's the list: patience, kindness, truth, protection, trust, hope, and perseverance. Yeah. And you'll be amazed, this is exactly how God treats you. This is how the love of God treats you. So as you grow in your understanding of God's love, you will see that these qualities and these characteristics will come out of you in your relationships one with another.
Absolutely. That's the kind of good stuff that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, and we are glad that you've joined us for this edition, everybody. If you'd like to really join us and join this conversation, why, we'd love for you to do just that at 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call.
Well, thank you, Bob. We do want to mention that we have a wonderful offer on the table this month. It is a book that takes a deep look into the definition of love as Paul shared it in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is the love of God for you. Do you know that? Do you know that how he loves you? Well, if you don't, this is a wonderful, wonderful resource that can genuinely connect you to the love of Christ Jesus. We want to put it in your hands as a way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month.
Absolutely. And you can find the prominent link on our homepage at basicgospel.net. You can use that link, or you can call our operator during Central Time office hours and request your copy and make your gift to Basic Gospel. That number, 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828. Love is by Bob Christopher. Yours for a gift of any amount this month.
Well, thank you, Bob. Well, let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk with Frankie, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frankie.
Hello. How are you? Good afternoon. Wonderful program.
Well, thank you.
I'm here listening in my car, and I pulled over and called you because as a Christian man, one of the things that I've asked God for was patience. And I've learned that's one of the worst things you could ask him because he's going to test them. The minute you ask God for patience, he's going to test your patience, trust me. And I've learned not to ask for patience, but to give me the love, because I believe in God's love, you could withstand anything and you could overcome the world, just like Jesus did, through love. But trust me, I tried asking him for patience, and every time I did that, he put me in a situation where my patience was tested, and I didn't like it. It was rough. It was very tough. You know, I believe through love, everything could be accomplished.
Well, absolutely, and patience is an aspect of God's love. That's the first in the list as far as the definition of love is concerned. God is patient with us.
Yeah,
God's
my
love
pastor said, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, that's it.
When you ask for it, you're going to get it. Trust
yeah, that's a, that's exactly right. In relationships with human beings, that's hard stuff right there. There's nothing easy about relationships that we have one with another. We can have all kinds of superficial relationships where we just have acquaintances and we just say hi in passing, how you doing, just a bunch of superficial stuff. But when you really get involved with another human being, you're going to find difficulties all along the way in that relationship. And so we need patience toward each other. And a part
Definitely.
Of patience requires understanding. God is patient with us because he understands us. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailties. He knows everything about us. So he understands where we're coming from. And as a result, he chooses to suffer long with us, to wait things out. And I think if we will come to that point and recognize that, all of us have weaknesses, all of us have frailties, all of us have faults, that will give us a deeper understanding of that other person. And with that understanding comes patience. So to be patient with somebody means you need to understand them. To have a general...
You also need to love them. Remember that Jesus said the two greatest commandments is love thy God with all your strength, your mind.
Well, what
and
I'm
your
saying
heart,
to you,
and then love thy neighbor.
What I'm saying to you, Frankie, is when you are patient with another person, in essence, that is loving that person, because patience is an aspect
yes.
of God's
I
love.
I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely. God bless you. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, Frankie. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, friends, come on in and be a part of the conversation at 1-800-677-9377. Open lines, plenty of time right now, 1-800-677-9377. And, guys, a question that folds right in very neatly to the conversation from Wendy in Oregon, Springfield, Eugene area, concerning a relationship with God. She says, I have a question concerning our relationship with God. I've done a Google search for the question, what do I do when I've blown it big time with God? All of the websites giving answers to this question tell me that I should do what I should do when this happens. Most of them follow the basic steps of admitting or confessing sin, asking God to forgive the sin, accepting God's forgiveness, asking for God's help not to do it again, and using past sin as a ministry opportunity. All of the answers basically use Psalm 51 as the remedy for what to do when we blow it. I ask this question because our relationship with God is so critical. I don't want to do anything to damage that relationship or cause division. What do you say on this? How do we get back to a right relationship with God when I've blown it big time? How do I get right with God?
Well, there's only one way to get right with God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. I love what Romans 5 says right there at the beginning. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This act of God to justify us in Christ is what makes us right in his eyes. He gives us his righteousness. He who knew no sin, that was Jesus, became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that we've been made right. And once we've been made right in Jesus, there's no way that we could be made wrong. That's the good news. That's what grace is all about. And his grace is sufficient to keep us in right standing from the very moment that right standing was given to us until we go to be with the Lord. I mean, it's an eternal truth. It's an eternal state that we've entered into through faith in Jesus Christ. So when we blow it, we have to ask the question, are we now not right with God? And I think many people would say, that's right. We're not.
How could I be right?
We're no longer in God's good graces. Yeah. So if we're out of his good graces, if we're out of favor with God, then we have to ask the question, how do we get back into his good graces? How do we get back into his favor? How do we make this right? Well, we don't have what it takes to make it right. Only God does. And he made it right once and for all through Jesus Christ. So now we've entered into relationship. Nothing can change the status of that relationship. The fact that you blow it, the fact that I blow it, that doesn't change anything that Christ has done for us. Doesn't change a thing. His love still stands. There's still no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We have received forgiveness. We have been declared righteous. We have been given a new identity. Your sin as a believer doesn't change any of that. So I think a better question to ask when we blow it, and we do blow it, and when we do blow it, we feel horrible about that. I think that it's one of the most deepest sorrows that we can feel as human beings is when we blow it as believers, and we know that our actions have caused harm to someone else. I mean, that is a horrific feeling, and you're deeply sorrowful and regretful for that. But that doesn't change your rightness in God. You've been declared righteous by him through Jesus Christ. So I think a better question to ask is, what does God do when I blow it? That's what we need to focus on. God, what are you doing after I've blown it? You know, have you turned your back on me? Because that's what many people think. And the answer to that is no. There's no scriptural support for that at all. He doesn't turn his back on us. He has come to live inside of us with the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So he's right there with you in the midst of that sin. I mean, when you were sinning, he was right there in your presence. He saw it all. Now, is he happy about that? Absolutely not. That he didn't save you to go back into sinful ways. He didn't save you to bring about hurt and pain and sorrow in the life of another individual. So that certainly grieves him, but it doesn't change his feelings towards you. It doesn't change his love for you. It doesn't change any of that. So in love, he is going to pick you up. He's going to dust you off. He's going to say, hey, you're my child. I've saved you. I have taken you out of darkness. I've placed you into light. I sent Jesus to shed his blood for that sin, and he took your punishment, and there's no condemnation. Now, let's move forward in faith and allow me to keep living my life through you. That's what relationship is all about.
Right, absolutely.
And if we will grab hold of that, I think if we'll just ask that simple question, you know, move the focus away from us and onto Christ, instead of saying, what do I need to do to get back into relationship with God or to get back into fellowship with God? If we'll start asking the question, what does God do when we sin? I think this will all get cleared up, and we will love him even more than we ever have before.
Absolutely. Wendy, great question. Hope you're listening. Hope this has been a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email if you have a question or something you'd like for us to discuss. That email address, of course, is at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage. Just click that link and send us that email. We'll be glad to address it.
Well, thank you, Bob. Let's go to Washington, D.C. and talk with Pat, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Nice to hear from you today.
Thank you. I was reading in Leviticus, and it has quite a bit in there on a guilt offering. And the guilt offering in what I read is very good because it explains it all the way through, whether you're not following the commandments, whether you are intentionally misleading someone, or whether you find something, a property or something, or someone has had some sort of trust of care with you, and you've gone against it, you've been deceitful with that. And what it does explain, it explains how you're supposed to make that right. And it puts that on you, so it's not saying that you are forgiven for doing it. It says that you have a restitution to that person. And I think that is so important because it's so many Christians now that feel that because they do something that is wrong and that they know that is wrong, or they may not even know that it's wrong but find out that it's wrong or something they were supposed to do, and maybe they even did it. But in some sort of way, there's some sort of harm that goes to a population or a people. When you get a property that belongs to someone and God meant that for someone or for a group or whatever, you know, because you have a pastor, sometimes we can tell the priest, because it even says how priests are supposed to be given monies once they do an atonement for you and so forth. So it's all
well,
relative.
Pat, let me jump in right there. And I'm following, I think, the point that you want to make. And it's this, that when we do something against another human being, we should make that right. We should make restitution for that. And Paul addresses that in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. He said, if you've stolen something from somebody, take it back, repay them, stop the stealing, go to work, and then so you can provide for not only your needs but help meet the needs of others. So there's some directives in the Word of God that really support the point that you are making. But here's what I want to say. That today we're in a new covenant. back in Leviticus, and I'm currently reading through the book of Leviticus right now. It's fascinating stuff, all the different offerings that were made, you know, the guilt offering, the burnt offering, the sin offering, all of those things, and what it would bring about for the people. And it would atone for their sins, which would enable forgiveness to be experienced by those folks. Well, we live in a new covenant. Jesus took all of those sacrifices of the old, and he became the once and for all sacrifice. He was the final sacrifice that took away sin once and for all. And so as a result, when we come to him by faith, we have forgiveness. We stand on the platform of forgiveness in Christ. And because we stand on the platform of forgiveness, then we are free to hear and listen and to live out God's leading in our lives as far as relationships are concerned. So if I've done something wrong to Richard or Bob Davis, God's Spirit can lead me to make restitution, to restore and repair that relationship. My relationship with him is secure because of the blood of Christ. I stand on that firm ground. I stand on that solid foundation. And because I'm there, then I'm free to allow Christ to live in and through me in a way that restores, that strengthens, that brings about reconciliation within relationships here and now. That's good news, isn't it?
It's good news, but I'm 63 years old, and I've been a follower since I've been 10 years old. And as you grow, you might see the same thing repeat itself. And once it repeats itself, you have younger people who are coming to the church, and you even have people who are older than me. And once you turn around and you're doing this forgiveness, especially in some bodies of church, and it becomes a behavior, lack of morals and civility to one another, and it becomes an indifference, and it doesn't serve us right, and it doesn't serve, when you go back to Genesis, and the responsibility that Adam was given by God to take care of everything. And so it becomes cyclical.
Yeah, okay? Well, Pat, I agree with that. I mean, we live in a we live in a very complacent world.
Okay, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying many call them, few are chosen. Sometimes you are not just called, but chosen. And then a secret can come up that's good for people who are believers and people who are not believers. And you pick up a telephone and you speak to it because you don't hold it. Because if you hold it, then you're wrong too. Sometimes it's love to instruct. Sometimes it's love to say the way it is.
Well, you're right. Absolutely. That's truth. That's building a relationship upon truth. Well, Pat, we're out of time. I wish we had more time to discuss this, but we're out of time on today's broadcast. We sure appreciate your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. You hang on, Pat.
And we appreciate, of course, everybody who tuned in to be a part of this one. And those of you who called, we appreciate the fact that you participated and added your thoughts to the broadcast. And we hope that you'll keep listening and do that again. You know, our June Bible Conference is called Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World, and it features John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher. For information and registration, visit our website, stand2014.com. That's coming up June 19th through the 21st here in the Dallas area. All the information is available online at stand2014.com. We hope that you can be with us. It's going to be a great, great time. You know, relationships can be quite a challenge, with heartache and pain testing your beliefs and revealing your inner struggles and insecurities. On the other hand, they can add meaning and joy to your life, and there's nothing quite like it when there's unity. For a relationship to be strong, it needs to stand on the foundation of God's love for you. To help Basic Gospel listeners with this, we are once again offering Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, for a gift of any amount. Just click the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net or dial 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. That's 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher. Now for Bob and for Richard and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great evening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.